It is the State Capitol Report on the Morning Show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. Legislation called the CARE Act ensures hospitals don't discharge patients without preparing family caregivers for medical tasks that they will have to do for the patient at home. According to the National Library of Medicine, the act was passed in 40 states. Advocates want Wisconsin to follow suit. Call in with a question, share a comment at 800-642-1234. Email ideas at WPR.org. Bryn Seaman is an Older Americans Act consultant and family caregiver support specialist at the Greater Wisconsin Agency on Aging Resources, Inc. Bryn, welcome to the Ideas Network.
Morning. Thank you for having me.
Good morning. And Janet Zander is here, Advocacy and Public Policy Coordinator at the agency. Janet, welcome back.
Thank you very much, Kate. Great to be here.
Janet, let's start with you. The CARE Act stands for Caregiver Advise, Record, Enable. Without this law here in Wisconsin, how do family caregivers know what assistance their loved ones need when they leave a hospital?
Well, that's a good question. I mean, people get written discharge plans and people try to interpret those. Some receive excellent discharge planning from their hospital. Others receive less than the best opportunity to be successful. And so they're relying on what they know, what family members might know. But at the end of the day, they're less prepared and less confident to provide what their caregivers are going to need, which means keeping them free from pain and avoiding complications that ultimately could lead to readmission to the hospital.
What are the complications of hospital discharge planning? Where might communication break down?
There's a number of areas. First, in the discharge planning itself, when is someone going to be discharged? How will they get home? What care equipment will they need? Have their medications changed? And most importantly, I think, is what care will the caregiver be responsible for providing? And do they know how to do that? You know, and we're talking about complex care, managing multiple medications, providing wound care, managing special diets. Sometimes there's injectables or other specialized equipment. So it's not just the things we intuitively would know how to do.
Bryn, looking at this nationwide shortage of paid in-home caregiving aides resulted in more people relying on day-to-day assistance from family members. What support is there for family caregivers who may not be able to find a paid professional to provide, you know, more specialized care?
I think more and more family caregivers are having to look inward, expand their informal support. So those are those 580,000 family caregivers and friends who currently provide about $9.2 billion of unpaid care. So creating their own support system. We do have wonderful allies and partners that also offer respite care through the Respite Care Association of Wisconsin. So there are some alternatives, but the lack of professional caregivers absolutely impacts the family and impacts the person receiving the care when they're discharged from the hospital.
I wonder how you feel about the state's efforts to approach this with the WISC Caregiver Careers Program, increasing direct care, you know, workforce. I'm wondering, will a free program to train up more nursing assistants help solve this workforce challenge?
Well, I sure hope so. I mean, it certainly couldn't hurt. I think it's a wonderful initiative. It's an opportunity to provide free training. It's an opportunity to potentially receive a bonus. If it's a passion and a career of yours, we need more carers, professional carers, in order to meet the ever-growing demand.
How much of demand do you see that is unfilled, unmet right now, and family is trying to pitch in to resolve?
I think it varies. It varies a lot on the type of care needs. It varies on the location throughout the state. Rural versus more urban or suburban areas are going to have a different need. Right now, again, using that same number, $9.2 billion of care that's provided that's unpaid for would suggest that we have quite the unfilled positions or the unfilled need of professional carers. And I think that the opportunity to train and facilitate education for professional carers should be both offered through DHS as it is currently, but also we see smaller respite and smaller communities popping up too, to really invoke the small community, the family caregiver, and so that they're more confident and able to provide the care that they need to as well.
Bryn Seaman, their Older Americans Act consultant. Janet Zander with us, advocacy coordinator at the Greater Wisconsin Agency on Aging Resources. As we look at the complexities of family caregiving, you can join in the conversation with your questions, your experiences. They're welcome here at 800-642-1234. Email ideas at WPR.org. Janet, in 2019, the CARE Act was introduced in the state legislature. It did not receive a committee hearing, and the bill doesn't currently have a sponsor. Why do you think lawmakers could consider the model legislation this session?
I think there's a number of things happening right now that make it an opportune time. One is, as you mentioned, over 40 states have gone before us. That means we have an opportunity to learn from those states. So for our family caregivers, for our aging and disability resource centers who help to support them, as well as for our legislators and our hospitals across the state, we have folks that we can turn to who've tried this, who know what works, who knows what doesn't work. So I think that's helpful. I also think that this time around, we see a lot of things happening at the federal level with the introduction of a national strategy to support family caregivers. There's an incredible amount of resources available to us for those states that have not yet passed the CARE Act. And we have a proposal within Medicare to support a payment code for healthcare providers who are helping to train family caregivers. And I think all those things aligned might make us more successful this time.
Could the federal law restricting the release of medical information, is that interfering with the objective of this legislation?
I don't believe so. It's been very successfully implemented in other states. It really relies on a strong electronic health record. And this is all driven by the patient themselves. Patients identify if they have a family caregiver and then ask them to be placed on the chart. So there's not a confidentiality or HIPAA violation as long as patients are the ones making those decisions.
Bryn mentioned 580,000 family caregivers in Wisconsin providing over $9 billion in unpaid care. How could the CARE Act help healthcare systems see caregivers as more essential partners in patient care?
One of the things that has been identified in the states that have already implemented the CARE Act is that they often thought they were talking to the caregiver because they were talking to a family member or a power of attorney for healthcare, some sort of next of kin person. But in fact, that person turned out to not always be the one providing the primary care that's needed. And so I think really the CARE Act hones in on who is the person that you feel is going to be providing the most care, and then what do we want them to know? And we know it's certainly in hospitals' best interest not to see unnecessary readmissions. And we still know that 80% of the care is being provided by these folks at home, and that 65% of our older adults with long-term care needs depend exclusively on family and friends. And so in the light of this workforce shortage, I think hospitals are recognizing the increasing importance of having well-trained family and informal caregivers.
Janet Zander is advocacy and public policy coordinator at Greater Wisconsin Agency on Aging Resources. Bryn Seaman with us, a family caregiver support specialist with the agency. As we discuss caregiving, call in with a question, share a comment at 800-642-1234, email ideas at WPR.org. This is the State Capitol Report. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. You're listening to The Morning Show on the Ideas Network. It is a State Capitol Report on The Morning Show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. We examine challenges of family caregivers and new policies to support them. Governor Tony Evers' Task Force on Caregiving in its 2020 report estimates there are 580,000 family caregivers providing hundreds of millions of hours of unpaid care annually. Call in with a question, share your experience in caregiving, 800-642-1234, email ideas at WPR.org. We have Janet Zander, Advocacy and Public Policy Coordinator, and Bryn Seaman, an Older Americans Act consultant, both from Greater Wisconsin Agency on Aging Resources. Bryn, you this year surveyed caregivers throughout the state about their hospital discharge experiences. What did they tell you about how prepared they were to take care of people heading home from a hospital?
We surveyed statewide for approximately 5 months family caregivers, and we narrowed down the respondents to those who had a hospital discharge experience of a loved one within the past 3 years, just so we could really get an idea of what the current state of affairs are. From them, what we heard is there's certainly positives, as Janet said, it's not all bad. We also heard, though, that there are definitely areas of improvement and a desire to feel more like allies in the process of discharge planning. They want to be that partner. Of those that responded, 42% said that they really felt very uncomfortable in completing the caregiving tasks that immediately followed the hospital discharge.
42% very uncomfortable. And I'm also thinking about the stress of having a loved one in the hospital, going through an ordeal, and then now the additional stress of having to continue care at home. Did they respond a little bit at all about that, about managing that the stressful circumstances?
They did. Yeah, we asked specifically about the training that they received from hospital staff. Now, keep in mind, we really did keep it open. So this could be from the doctor, from the nurse, from the social work discharge planner, about the training or different instruction that they might need post-hospitalization. And 76% reported no, that they did not receive any training as a family caregiver from those hospital staff. So that's quite a number, and that's an area of opportunity that we could improve. We also probed a little further and asked about community resources. Were you given information about local aging and disability resource center, local human services, adult protective services? All of these are preventative opportunities, hoping that the patient wouldn't have to be readmitted if a family caregiver needed assistance. And once again, the same 76% also reported that no, they were not provided with any of this community contact information.
In the survey, more than 8 in 10 family caregivers in Wisconsin reported work interruptions. Janet, caregivers reported having to quit a job or reduce work hours. How significantly are the demands of family caregiving impacting our state's economy?
Impacting more and more. We know that 60% of our family caregivers are working full or part-time, but as our workforce shortage remains in a crisis state, we see family caregivers stepping in more and more and more, and that means stepping out of the workplace. And we have many, many unfilled jobs across all of the fields in Wisconsin and even and across the nation, but we need those folks to be able to stay employed for their own financial security, their retirement security. Having folks trying to do all of this at one time is just a recipe for disaster.
Bryn, what resources are there for workers trying to balance their jobs and caregiving responsibilities?
Oh, I'm so glad you asked. It's very much an initiative of an alliance that I'm a part of, the Wisconsin Family and Caregiver Support Alliance. We have a website, of course we do, wisconsincaregiver.org. Again, all one word, wisconsincaregiver.org. On the resources tab of that page, we actually do have some information about family caregivers who are working and conversations they can have with their direct supervisor, resources that might be able to be tapped in. Sometimes there's actually employment resources that employees just don't know about. We also have a wonderful free e-learning platform in the state of Wisconsin called Truelta. And they have wonderful caregiver supports on ideas for balancing work and caregiving. And again, that can include so many things. It could be a job share opportunity, flexible or remote work. It could just be sabbatical, short leaves, making sure that you're still retaining that institutional knowledge and that employee, even if they might need a short temporary break to care for a loved one.
Bryn, can you offer some tips for caregivers at hospital discharge, things that we can think about or actively do at this point?
Sure. I think that we all have heard the expression, an additional set of ears, an additional set of eyes is helpful. And I think when the patient at doctor's appointments are willing to let family come in, that's acceptable. The physician and the medical doctor are more than willing to talk to the family caregiver. I think the same too could be said for a discharge experience. Families sometimes are tentative. You don't want to overstep and you recognize there's a hospital policy and procedure. But I think it is absolutely okay to ask to be named in the chart as a person who's going to be providing that care when your loved one is released. It's also okay to ask if you can talk with a discharge planner. Again, that might be the physician doing rounds in the morning. That might be a nurse. That might be a social work discharge planner. But explaining the role that you're going to have is going to be vital, so that the training and the resources provided could absolutely provided to the patient, but also include you. That makes you feel more confident. That allows you to provide the care in a quality way. We also want to think about caregivers as a potential future patient. If a caregiver isn't taking care of themselves or gets hurt during a transfer, now you have two people that we're potentially caring for in a health system. So making sure we're preserving that family caregiver and that we're asking the right questions so that we can take care of ourselves as well as take care of the patient following discharge.
Bryn Seaman there and Janet Zander, as we talk about family caregiving, both from the Greater Wisconsin Agency on Aging Resources. You can join in the conversation with your question at 800-642-1234. Janet, what other legislation and policies is the Greater Wisconsin Agency on Aging Resources focusing on beyond the CARES Act?
Certainly have a number of caregiver priorities. A state tax credit for our family caregivers has been on our agenda for the last couple of legislative sessions, recognizing that not only are these caregivers having to leave the workforce and providing more care, but they're spending a lot of money out of their own pockets to help meet their loved ones' care needs. So, you know, in excess of $7,000 a year. So a caregiver tax credit at any amount will start to ease some of that financial burden on family caregivers. As Bryn mentioned, respite is a critical resource, so we are seeking in additional funding for respite service grants so that our caregivers can take care of their own health and well-being. We also have, in the last budget, we were able to get some additional funding for the Alzheimer's Family and Caregiver Support Program, which does provide some respite and support services for those caring for someone with dementia. And we're looking for some additional flexibilities in that program, really updating it from its initiation to where we are today in terms of the cap that's provided on goods and services and who can be providing those services, et cetera. So we've got a wealth of priorities just in the caregiving arena.
And also not mentioned here, but you want to fund minimum provider reimbursement rates for home and community-based services, in a program to really help agencies recruit qualified workers, reduce turnover. What do you envision there?
We recognize that paid supports are often complementary to family caregiving, and we're hoping that we can increase that workforce by really making those living wages, by offering the payment rates enough to pay those wages at a higher rate is going to help us bring more workers in. And so we just have to recognize the value of this workforce, which has traditionally been devalued as domestic workers and not really thought about as also healthcare partners. And so lifting those up really will bring more people back into the workforce, especially if we can also address other important benefits like health insurance and paid leave and those kinds of things.
Going back to the first item on your list, supporting this tax credit for family caregivers, Governor Evers included the tax credit in his proposed budget. It was taken out during the budget process. Why should lawmakers consider a tax credit for caregivers?
I think what we have been communicating with them is really that because these caregivers are leaving the workforce, we're decreasing their income and increasing their cost. We need to recognize that a caregiver tax credit, A, is going to keep some of those caregivers able to provide support, and meaning they can continue to contribute to our economy, and B, those caregivers are way cheaper to provide than having to rely on all paid supports. And so we need to incentivize those folks and reward those folks for the kind of work that they're doing. And we hear a lot, family caregivers, this is what they should be expected to do. And certainly many, many, many people step in voluntarily. Sometimes they're the last one available. And so that's not always can be a challenge, but we're asking way more of them now that we're looking at really complex care that many folks are providing. I think the more ways we can support them, the more ways that they will continue to be able to provide that essential service.
We only have a few moments left, but we did hear from Eric in Brown County and said, you know, people spend a lot of money during the last few weeks of a person's life. Could that money be better spent? Is there a better way to manage resources? Janet, do you have, in a few moments left, any reaction to that?
We do know that a lot of the money is spent in the last days of somebody's life. And I don't know what, you know, we rely heavily on hospice and palliative care and all the other supports that are critically important to making sure somebody has quality of life right up until the end of life. So I just think knowing that many people want to remain in their own home for as long as possible with the support of those family members, that's going to keep our costs down.
Thank you both for joining us. Janet Zander, Advocacy and Public Policy Coordinator at Greater Wisconsin Agency on Aging Resources. Bryn Seaman is an Older Americans Act consultant and family caregiver support specialist with the agency. This is the State Capitol Report. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. You're listening to The Morning Show here on the Ideas Network.